Where and what is your holy ground? Where do you perceive God, receive forgiveness, learn, grow, and renew your passions? How do you perceive God's hope for your life? And how are you inspired to live God's hope? Over hundreds of years, the Egyptians became more and more afraid of the immigration and robust birth rate of the Israelites. As the Israelite population grew, the Egyptians felt more and more threatened. They were afraid that they would lose their power and affluent lifestyle. So at first they discriminated against the Israelites, giving them the poorer jobs, and then later they made them slaves. The Israelite population continued to grow. Pharaoh, afraid of riots and rebellion, showed his country's power by genocide, by killing the Israelite baby boys. Miraculously, Moses, an Israelite baby boy, was adopted by Egyptian royalty. Moses grew up in luxury and was given every material want. But the Holy Spirit kept placing thoughts in his mind. At first, it caused him to wonder, was it just for one people to have all this wealth and power and not to share it with those in need? Over time, Moses realized how his lifestyle exploited and oppressed others. Eventually, Moses became passionate in working for human rights, justice, and sharing resources. Moses had an inkling that God was asking him to be a social justice leader. Moses lived in a household and society where whenever you wanted something, you simply took it by force. Moses' passion for social justice got distorted from advocacy to anger. Moses saw an Egyptian beating an Israelite, so he killed the offending Egyptian. Moses immediately realized his mistake and fled from Egypt to Midian. Moses, exhausted, stopped at a well to drink and rest. Moses saw some female shepherds being harassed by some male shepherds. Moses came to their aid, this time peacefully. Moses helped the ladies water their sheep and protected them. In time, Moses fell in love with one of the lady shepherds, Zipporah, and they got married. Together they established a home, cared for a flock, and eventually had a son. We think that Moses lived in Midian for 40 years. How do you think God was working in Moses' heart and mind over all that time? Was Moses angry that God didn't help him establish justice that day back in Egypt? Was Moses overcome by his guilt, aware that he wanted to be in control, that he took matters into his own hands, that he didn't trust God enough to let God work through him, that he was impatient and angry in killing that Egyptian? How many years do you think it took for Moses to let go of all of that guilt and to finally accept God's grace? 40 years is a pretty long time. 40 years ago, there were no personal computers or cell phones. Richard Nixon was president. James Cook was the pastor here. And I was in my terrible twos. For 40 years, God worked in Moses, preparing him to hear and follow God's plan. Moses went from being the prince of Egypt to a revolutionary with a dream to a fugitive on the run. God immediately worked in Moses to redeem his life. God gave Moses a small success in the area of his passion, social justice, as he peacefully stopped the harassment of female shepherds. God revealed to Moses love by blessing Moses with a wife, in-laws, and eventually a son. As a shepherd, Moses had plenty of time to worship God and to ask God those tough questions, to wrestle with God, be angry with God at all the injustices that were happening in the world. Moses learned how to let go of his regrets, of his longing to be back in Egypt, enjoying all those wonderful luxuries. Moses learned how to guide wandering sheep, navigate in the desert, find water, food, and shelter, which in the next 40 years as he leads the Israelites across the desert will all be essential skills. Moses learned how to be a loving husband and father. God was molding Moses into a patient person who would wait for God's instruction before acting, who could listen to numerous complaints and yet still inspire trust in God. God was helping Moses become the sort of person who could walk into the court of the most powerful person in the world at that time and say, "Let my people go." God was preparing Moses to be the kind of person who could deal with the belly aching, mistakes, and rebellion of a newly liberated people. God was preparing Moses to be someone who knew what it was like to depend on the work of God and walk deeply with God. Do you think Moses was aware that God was preparing him in all those ways? Or do you think some days he just felt that he was simply a shepherd? God is working in your life, my life, in everyone's life. Whether you are royalty, a fugitive, or somewhere in between, God is redeeming your life. God is nurturing your passion. God is teaching you. God is developing your gifts. God is forgiving you, loving you, molding you into the beautiful masterpiece you were created to be. God is preparing you to make this world a better place. 40 years had passed since Moses left Egypt. Moses was enjoying life and God's blessings. Moses had a loving wife, a grown son, and the satisfaction of knowing he created a just work environment for lady shepherds. Through prayer, Moses had let go of his guilt and his anger, control issues, and murder. He worked through all of that. Moses has discovered how to perceive God and to savor God's grace, love, and joy. And now Moses is finally planning his retirement. Exodus explains what happens next. Moses was shepherding the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. Moses led the flock to the west end of the wilderness and came to the mountain of God, Horeb. The angel of God appeared to Moses in flames of fire blazing out of the middle of a bush. Moses looked. The bush was blazing away, but it didn't burn up. Moses said, "What's going on here? I can't believe this. Amazing. Why doesn't this bush burn up?" The text suggests that God has been trying to get Moses' attention for quite some time. How do you think that God tried to communicate with Moses earlier? How many times do you think that Moses missed God's communication? God's love is steadfast and everlasting. God never, ever gives up on any of us. God keeps communicating, always hoping that God will be able to get our attention. Exodus continues, "When the Lord saw that God had caught Moses' attention, God called to Moses from out of the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' Moses said, 'Yes, I'm right here.' God said, 'Don't come any closer. Remove your sandals from your feet. You're standing on holy ground.'" Now, normally we do not think of a remote scrub bush in desert sand as holy ground. Yet, wherever we perceive God, that is holy ground, a place where we can listen to God. Removing one's shoes is a gesture of respect and honor. For Moses, it was a way of worshiping God. Where and what is your holy ground? Where do you perceive God, receive forgiveness, learn, grow, and renew your passion? How do you perceive God's hope and live it? It could be holy ground when you're taking a walk, when an idea occurs to you about some change you need to make in your life. Or it could be holy ground when you are reading a book or watching a movie, when suddenly something comes alive and resonates with you. It could be a holy ground when you're in the midst of an argument with a family member and you are really quite angry with that person. And then suddenly something clicks inside your head and you remember that you are in love with this person that you are angry at. And that realization can cause the ground to shift under you. And there is suddenly a holy opportunity regarding your relationship with that person. It could be holy ground when a little bit later on in this year when you're snowed in, unable to get to your workplace. You are frustrated because you got so much you need to accomplish. But then it suddenly dawns on you, you have been given a gift, a day to find yourself again. It could be holy ground when you are busy with the responsibilities of the day, when a child asks you to read her a story. It could be holy ground when you are in the midst of troubles or are depressed over the course of life and receive one of those "I'm thinking of you" notes or emails from a friend. It could be holy ground when you go off to college, but you know you're not self-supporting. You may call that opportunity, but then it comes to you that your presence on campus is only possible because of the financial sacrifices of your parents and by those who have set up scholarships. Elizabeth Barrett Browning writes, "Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. And only she who sees takes off her shoes. The rest sit around it and pluck the blackberries." Holy ground is all around you. God is working in your life. God is speaking to you. Are you listening? Exodus continues. "Then God said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob.' Moses hid his face, afraid to look at God. God said, 'I've taken a good long look at the affliction of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries for deliverance from their slave masters. I know all about their pain. And now I have come down to help them, pry them loose from the grip of Egypt, get them out of that country, and bring them to a good land with wide open spaces, a land lush with milk and honey, the land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hevite, and the Jebusite. The Israelite cry for help has come to me, and I have seen for myself how cruelly they are being treated by the Egyptians. It's time for you to go back. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the people of Israel, out of Egypt.' Moses answered God, 'But why me? What makes you think that I could ever go to Pharaoh and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt?' God calls, and we often say, 'Why me?' Moses wants to retire. Moses feels he has done his fair share. Moses is a good husband, father, and shepherd, and made the community better by his establishment of equal opportunity shepherding. Moses doubts himself. Moses is suppressing his passion for social justice. Moses questioned, 'Why me, and what makes you think that I could ever go to Pharaoh and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt?' is really a very silly question. Why? Because, Moses, you are so passionate about social justice that you risked everything, your status, your wealth, and you killed an Egyptian to protect an Israelite. Because when you were alone, unemployed, and hungry in a strange land, you stood up against discrimination. Because you love people. Because you have learned to accept God's grace and to forgive yourself. Because you have learned all the skills to lead Israel through the wilderness. Because you have learned to trust God. Because you have learned to recognize holy ground, to listen to God, and to live God's guidance." God knows that Moses knows all the answers deep down to all of his questions. So the critical element is that God will lead Moses. God answers, "I will be with you." God said, "And this will be the proof that I am the one who sent you. When you have brought my people out of Egypt, you will worship God right here at this very mountain." Then Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the people of Israel and I tell them the God of your father sent me to you. And they ask me, 'What is God's name?' What do I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. Tell the people of Israel, 'I am sent me to you.'" God continued with Moses, "This is what you're to say to the Israelites. God, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob sent me to you. This has always been my name, and this is how I always will be known." A humble Moses does indeed go. This time, Moses listens to God, lets God be in control, and together they lead the Israelites out of slavery into the promised land. All of us are standing on holy ground wherever we live, learn, and play. Whenever you perceive something good, pure, loving, pay attention, for it is likely God calling you. Be patient as you follow God's direction. It took around 90 years for Moses to realize his hope to accomplish God's call. Now, being patient is really, really hard for most of us. A few weeks ago, the work campers shared with us God's desire for us to remain in God. For us, the branch, to remain in Jesus, the vine, we watched a short 3-minute silent video encouraging us to remain. And I got feedback from some of you that you found it difficult, that was awkward and uncomfortable to remain in silence for just 3 minutes. Moses had to remain in silence 8 million times longer. That's how patient he had to be. Being patient is hard because we often do not want to spend time in the wilderness. We often don't want to go to the wilderness at all. Sometimes we don't want to develop our gifts, to discover God's grace, to deepen our trust in God, and learn how to let God work through us. Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness. Being patient is hard because if we are praying for and working for good and loving ways that are in accordance with God's will, then why do we need to wait and remain? Why can't we have it right now? Moses remained for about 90 years from the time of his first dream for liberation to the entrance into the promised land. In the story of the Karate Kid, Danielson is eager to learn karate. Danielson becomes impatient and does not see how his karate teacher's instructions of wax on and wax off and painting the fence and sanding the floor and painting the house and balancing on the post and breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth and other mundane tasks have anything to do with karate, until his karate master shows him that all of these are basic karate moves, and that the repetition of those mundane tasks has taught his body instinctive karate moves. I hope you see your holy ground and hear God's direction for your life. As you look for your holy ground and listen for God's voice, the Apostle Paul commands us to love. Paul is taking the greatest commandment and Jesus' beatitudes and listing them as mundane tasks. Now, the way of love that Paul lays out is overwhelming. None of us have the ability to love in all of these ways. As I read these tasks of genuine love, pick one. Practice it over and over and over again. Make it instinctive. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy. And weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Nurture genuine love. Demetrius Dumb writes, "Sometimes I think that the only question that we will be asked at the Last Judgment will be quite simply, 'Did you let my people go?' In other words, was the overall effect of your presence in this world to liberate or to hold bondage? Were you a Moses, a friend of God, or a Pharaoh holding others in slavery?" Amen.